Untangling Marriages, Navigating the Complexity with marriage and family therapist and master coach, Amy Gianni. Episode 158. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Welcome, everyone. Today, I have my favorite coach ever with us, Amy Gianni, who is a marriage and family therapist and a master coach instructor. She specializes in love relationships. She is my coach. Jeff and I work with Amy, and she is my trainer, my mentor, as well as just an amazing human being. How's that for an introduction?
Wow.
Yeah, this is our second conversation here on the podcast anyway. Amy teaches her clients the art of intimate connection and helps them create strong, loving, joyful relationships and meaningful lives that they love, full of authenticity, connection, passion, fulfillment, and physical well-being. It's her favorite thing to do, and I can tell she loves it. As a master coach instructor, she also trains relationship coaches. So that not originally how I know Amy. Originally, I met her from a distance at my original certification course. At that time, I think you were coaching autoimmune.
Probably, people
struggling with autoimmune, yeah. And so I identified with that. But then later on, we met through a program her and her sister were doing, the Coaching Collective. And I like to think that all things happen on purpose. And maybe it wasn't necessarily the Coaching Collective that was the cherry on the top, but together, Amy and Molly decided to do advanced relationship training. And that was like, I knew that's why I came to them. So I did the advanced relationship training. And then she decided to start training the coaches who had gone through her advanced relationship training. She offered a master coach certification in relationships. And of course, I did that. Amy's going to get sick of me before I can get sick of her. So I did her master coach training, and she trains other coaches to understand the dynamics of relationships. I am so thankful for that because I did not feel like my coach training alone was enough. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. I have loved working with you and knowing you and learning from you. And so I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
The reason I reached out to Amy, I have been contemplating this state that so many of the couples that I talk to are in, and most of the couples that I work with or individual clients that I work with, they have gotten to this point in their relationship where they're really desperate for a solution. Like they've been letting it go for a long time, hoping it would just get better. Now they're threadbare. They just either want it fixed or they just can't imagine being in this type of relationship for the rest of their lives. Amy describes this state as being entangled. Not so much the state of being at your wit's end in your relationship, but where the relationship actually is. And she talks about this process of untangling. But what I realize is that when we're all tangled up, we can't really see where we are. It's like, I don't know. You're just so close to it. It doesn't make sense. And so it's like this state that we've been conditioned to think that is normal. We were kind of talking about this before I hit the record button. maybe it's from our family of origin, or, and then, you know, we see maybe relationships in movies that are really good. And there's like this feeling that something's not right, but you don't know what to do. And so I decided that I really wanted to be an expert in this untangling process, because it is the first process that, well, it's not the first process that Amy talks about in really undoing this untangling, because it starts with ourselves. But I just want to be able to help my clients better. And I think the more that I talk about it and I talk to other people about it, of course, then the better I understand it and the better I can help my clients with it, right? This is where we start, Amy, with this whole thing. So can you start maybe sharing like the dummy's guide to the definition of what entangled means in a marriage?
Yes. So I always use the example of two balls of yarn. If you have like two balls of yarn that are all tangled up together, and if it's tangled, you can just like leave it there, but it's not going to untangle itself, right? You can kind of walk away from it and be like, well, maybe if I just ignore it for a while, it'll fix itself. It won't. Yeah. So it's all tangled up. And if you try to tug on it and pull on the different strings, that just makes it worse. Right. So you have to take the time to really untangle, and you figure out, okay, where, which, you know, which thread is this from? Which one is this from? And once you untangle it and then they're separate, then you can bring those two balls of yarn together and create something beautiful. But when they're tangled, it just doesn't work. So I see this with couples. They would come to see me and, you know, they're frustrated. They don't like where their relationship is. And maybe they've tried for a while to just kind of ignore things and hope that it would get better, right? Like walking away from the ball of yarn, hoping it will untangle itself. Or they, you know, they try to get their partner to change because they're like, well, if you would just do this differently, if you would just do that differently, then I could feel better. And this would work so much easier, because from each of their perspective, they feel like they know what they want. Well, sometimes they know what they want. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty sure it's the other person's fault. And so anyway, they're just all tangled up and they don't know where to go. It feels really powerless. They feel very powerless.
Yeah.
And so, that's kind of how I think of entanglement.
So this I was going to talk about later after I asked you some other questions, but you already brought it up. I love the way you explained, like with the two balls of yarn and needing them to totally like separate, which I don't know if that ever does happen. Does it ever happen where we can be totally untangled?
No, I don't think.
For me, I didn't really understand this entanglement part when I started doing this work on myself and my marriage 8 some years ago. But what I did intuitively know is that I had to work on me. And for me, it was kind of learning how to pull away from Jeff. I didn't realize it was like this entanglement, but it's like I needed to go way over here so that I could maybe lose some of the influence that was happening in the entanglement. And then I was able to start dipping my toe into, you know, okay, how do I come back into this? I didn't literally leave the relationship, but space-wise, I really had to pull away.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what does that look like to come back in? So is it pretty typical? And I suppose every relationship is different, but in these relationships where they are really entangled and relying on the other person to make them feel good, is that the typical process that you kind of go to this from dependent, entangled, and meshed to kind of independent, pulled away where the two balls of yarn are on totally untangled, and then coming back together?
Yeah. So, you know, I talk a lot about the dependence continuum, where one side is, you know, enmeshed, very codependent, right? And then the other side is this toxic independence. And so sometimes couples will go, you know, they'll swing all the way over there before they get back to the middle, which is healthy interdependence, which is really where you want to be. So not everybody swings all the way over to toxic independence. And I don't know that I wouldn't, at least from my experience with you, I don't know that you went all the way over that far, but it is that process, because when you're tangled, it's like you don't know where you end and the other person begins. Like you don't know what's yours to be responsible and what's not, right? So a lot of times when people are tangled, they're taking responsibility for maybe their spouse's feelings, right? When really that's not their job, it's the spouse's job. And they're oftentimes not taking responsibility for their own thoughts and feelings. They want their spouse to take responsibility for that, right? So you can see how that's tangled. So yes, this process of untangling, a lot of times people do kind of need some emotional space from each other to kind of find out who they are, like independent from the relationship, not because they're going to be out of the relationship, but because healthy relationships are two strong individuals that come together, right? And so when you're tangled, you're usually not even standing on your own two feet. You're not very strong. You don't always know who you are, right? So it's just that emotional process of figuring out, okay, wait, who am I? What am I responsible for? What am I not responsible for? And how can I stand on my own two feet and show up as the best version of myself? And that's kind of what I hear you saying, right? Like sometimes before you can figure out how to come together, you kind of have to pull apart and figure out who you are and who you want to be. And then you come back together with your partner.
Yes. And for us during that time, I'm speaking for Jeff, but I can't speak for Jeff, right? What I saw from him, like he knew some of the work that I was doing. He knew I was digging into some past stuff. He was like giving me space for that. But I was also, you know, I'd go hiking for a long time by myself, or I would go to a cabin for a long time by myself. And I think he felt like I was somewhat isolating him, even though we did have those conversations. But it was really that I just needed some space, because actually what you were talking about earlier today, so Amy was doing a training earlier, that step before, kind of maybe while you're doing the untangling, that knowing yourself, learning how to love yourself. I was trying to figure out who I was on my own. And it was exactly what you talked about this morning. I did things so that he would be happy, I guess. You know, like I took on a lot of the things that he liked to do. Not that I didn't like to do them, but I kind of forsake my things. And so it was kind of, I needed that space, and I'm thankful that he was able to give me that space. But I think it probably, it was like, then we had to rebuild the relationship because we had kind of become two different people. I had kind of more so figured out who I was, what I wanted, what I didn't want. And I was sort of like, I'm not sure you're going to like me anymore. And he's so sweet. He's like, well, of course I would love you.
Yeah. I'm thinking about when we were talking this morning, it's that process of knowing who you are, right? Before you can come and join with someone. And a lot of times when people get married, they don't really know who they are, especially if they get married really young, or maybe haven't had a lot of awareness or really looked at their childhood wounds or whatever, right? If they don't really know who they are, it's easy to get married and just kind of merge into this other person because you love them, right? And you admire them. And so you're like, oh, I just want to be with them all the time. And so sometimes people just let go of what was important to them. And they don't necessarily realize it at the time, but it's like, oh, they're so in love that it's like, oh, that doesn't matter to me anymore. I just want to be with this person and do all the things that this person does. And and I see both men and women do it, but I definitely see more women that do that. And then, things go along. And then after a while, so, you know, someday they wake up and they're like, wait, I'm lost. Like, what's going on? Who am I? What happened to all the things I used to like? Right. And it's not the spouse's problem.
No.
You know, you can't blame the spouse for it. It's like, but you want to take a look at, okay, what did I let go of? Why did I let go of it? And who am I? Who do I want to be? And can I bring that version of myself to this marriage? Because then that's going to create an authentic connection.
Yes. Yes. And just as you were saying that, what I realized for me, I mean, right now, I'm probably just really verbalizing it, is that that was kind of my life. I grew up in this setting where I couldn't think for myself. That's the way I took it, right? Like, I was always told what was the right thing to do. And I just went along with that. And so I never really in my life, I kind of did what everybody around me was doing, which got me in trouble sometimes. But, and so of course I had grown some by the time I married Jeff and kind of figured out a little bit of who I was, but it still was that kind of wanting to be somebody that he would like, right? Instead of figuring that out for myself.
Yeah.
So with this, like, kind of sharing my life examples, that I don't know if that so much shares for the audience what being entangled looks like, but in a couple's like day-to-day experience, do you have some examples that you could share of what this might look like in their life so they could possibly recognize it?
Yeah. So sometimes, and I'm gonna say opposite things. So you're gonna be like, wait a minute, what? Sometimes it can be bickering, right? Just a lot of like arguing over things. It can be blame, either you blaming your partner or feeling like your partner always is blaming you for things. It's feeling like you have no control over your emotions, like your partner, the way that they behave or the things that they say or do is what causes your emotions. So you feel powerless to change anything. Like, you're maybe unhappy, but you're like, but I can't change it unless my partner changes, but they won't change. So I'm stuck here. It's really just feeling disempowered. Like, you don't really have a lot of control over things. And you know you want things to be different, but everything that you do to try to make things different doesn't really work.
Yes.
So that's what it feels like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it can look like that, right? Where there's a lot of like contention or, you know, arguing like that. But it can also be distant, right? So it can also, that's why I say I'm going to say opposite things here. It can, if there's like a lot of distance in your relationship and you kind of walk on eggshells, or you maybe you don't argue because you just kind of brush stuff under the rug and figure, okay, I'm just going to like not touch that. I don't want to cause problems, right? That's also a sign of entanglement. That's why it's tricky sometimes. And as we said before we started, I said, I think what I want to say is, if you're wondering if you're entangled, you are. Because like, that's the nature of relationships. It's really hard to stay 24/7 in a very well differentiated state of healthy interdependence, right? It's a beautiful goal that we all want to work toward, but I don't know anybody that lives there all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I guarantee that there is an amount of entanglement in your relationship, some more than others, but yes, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my work this year. One of the things I'm really focusing on is creating space between reactivity, even if that reactivity is withdrawing and or avoiding. And so, like, you showed the opposites, and I'm sure I've shared this in the podcast, but it's interesting. I also realized something else when you were talking. So with Jeff and I was a fighter before, when we first got married. And I just thought, that's the way I am. I'm Italian. That's the way it grew. Like, that was what was modeled me. We fight. At some point, Jeff is not a fighter. At some point, I was like, this isn't working. So why am I fighting? And it actually seemed better because we weren't fighting. But what I realized when you were talking is, then I started the withdrawing and the avoidance, and that made Jeff feel comfortable because that was his go-to, right? And so I was kind of, even in that, complying,
right?
Which is interesting. I never saw it that way. And so, and that could be a sequence in your relationship too, where, you know, the fighting just seems to feel awful. So you just pull away and just avoid each other.
And that, what you just described, that's almost like, okay, the tugging on the yarn just was like making it worse and tighter. So I thought, well, if I just walk away and ignore it, maybe the knot will go away on its own.
Yeah. Right?
That's what you just described right there.
Yeah, and it didn't. I mean, what would end up happening is eventually, of course, things would break loose. We'd have arguments and then we'd avoid it. For a long time. It just feels awful. And honestly, in the process now, we just experienced this in an argument where we had it and we waited a couple days to resolve it. And it was just that icky energy. And I thought, how did we do this? Like, always feeling like that. It's just icky because they're resolving it just kind of lets you just, okay, wash it away. We've figured it out. It's not washing it away like sweeping it under the rug. You actually do clean it up and get rid of it and move forward instead of holding on to it.
Yeah.
As people are listening, the first question I want to ask is, how can an individual on their own, let's say they're listening to this and they want to, and maybe their partner isn't on board with doing any work, or they're just not ready to talk to their partner about it, how can they start the process of untangling on their own?
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's the same whether it's together or alone. The first step of that untangling is emotional regulation. And so it's really learning, like, how to manage your own emotions. It's learning what your emotions are. So what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my actions? How are they connected? What am I responsible for? And just being able to regulate yourself so that when you have a big, strong emotion come up, rather than getting angry or reacting to it or, you know, blaming your spouse for it, it's saying, wow, okay, I'm feeling so much resentment right now. What am I thinking that's causing me to feel this way? And what do I want to do with this resentment? Right? I mean, we could do a whole podcast on what to do with feelings, right? We resist, react, avoid, or allow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're resisting, reacting, or avoiding, it's going to cause us problems. So emotional regulation is about learning how to identify the feelings, take responsibility for them, and allow them, and then decide consciously what you want to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
So whether I'm working, so even if I'm working with a couple, that's really the work that we always start with. And it's kind of the parallel work of coaching because they're each doing the same work at the same time, but it's each on themselves and they're doing it like next to each other in the relationship.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's what an individual would do also if they just, you know, if the spouse didn't want to work on it yet, or they weren't even ready to bring it up, but they just wanted to start working on it themselves, that's where it would start.
Yeah. I just want to explain to the audience that this takes some time if you haven't been doing it.
Yes.
Because there is, I mean, I can think of a recent example maybe in the last year where Jeff was doing something that he's done many times where I've reacted to it and I was watching it happen and I just watched what happened inside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't need to be solved urgently because it's been happening for a while, right? Yeah. So like, and then I was able to take my own time, process it, and then come back at a different time and just share what was going on for me, how this makes me feel, why, you know, that story that I'm telling myself about it. And can you help me understand why you do this or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the whole process of like being able to go back to an experience that's already happened and kind of pulling it apart.
Yes.
And keep taking those steps.
Yeah. One thing that I always tell people is once you have this awareness tool, like you're able to observe yourself, people think, oh, now that I've learned this, I'm going to be able to catch it every time. But you don't. For the next 100 times, you're not going to catch it till after, right? But at least you catch it. Like you didn't even know it was going on before. You thought it was someone else's fault. But now you still do the same thing. But at least afterwards, you're like, oh, I did it again. There it was. Okay, but now I can look at it and I can see and I can pull it apart and I can know that the next time this happens and I start to think this, you know, here's what I want to do differently. And you can go through that in your head, but you're still not going to do it right for a while, right? You're going to keep going through the same pattern, but you're going to catch it after. And then you just get to where you catch it a little sooner, a little sooner, a little sooner until you get to be much more intentional. But even still, you're never going to be 100% intentional 100% of the time. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No. And part of that is like where you're at on that day, time, a moment. Like what other things have happened? Are you tired? Did something stressful happen beforehand?
Exactly.
Since we're talking about taking responsibility for our own thoughts and feelings and behaviors, can you explain that a little more? Because I know that you're not saying that we should just be happy no matter how our spouse acts, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about an example. So let's say there's something that you've asked your spouse to do a million times. They've said that they'll do it and they still don't do it, right? So maybe it's taking care of the laundry. And so you've asked them to do it and it doesn't get done. And you're really feeling angry, right? And a lot of times, like we talk about owning our own thoughts, but usually it's the feeling that's going to come up for you first before you can even identify the thought. So you're going to notice, and maybe the feeling is actually frustration. Like, I'm so frustrated, right? And we want to say, I'm so frustrated because my spouse didn't do the laundry. But the reason we're actually frustrated is because we're thinking my spouse should have done the laundry, or we're thinking that my spouse lied to me. They said they'd do it and they didn't, right? Like all of those are the thoughts we're having that are causing us to feel frustration. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we recognize, like, I'm thinking a thought that's causing me to have a feeling, and then that feeling is what's driving my action. So that's not to say that your spouse should be off the hook or should never have to do the laundry, or that you should just decide to be happy about your spouse not doing the laundry, right? It's none of that. But it's just about recognizing, okay, what's mine to own? The fact that the spouse didn't do the laundry, that's your spouse's to own. Whether they own it or not, we don't know. We can't control. But what's mine is the thought that I'm having, the feeling that I'm having, and the actions that I take. That has to be identified first so that you can regulate that, like regulate that emotion, decide intentionally how you want to respond to that frustration. Right. Which, like we were saying, like, you don't want to just react to it. You don't want to act out in anger or frustration. But when you can learn how to manage that, then you can get to a more regulated place so that you can go address the issue with your spouse. Like, of course, it's okay for you to request that they do the laundry, but you can't control if they do the laundry. Right. But that's kind of that fine line of, like, is it okay to want certain things and make requests of your spouse? It absolutely is. That you still have to manage your own emotions and reactions to whether they do it or don't do it.
So with that example, when we've sort of worked through, okay, I'm frustrated. I like to say, you know, okay, what is the story that I'm telling myself? That he doesn't care about me. I'm not considered. My needs don't matter. So what might a healthy confrontation of this look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I want to add to what you just said about the story that you tell, right? Because that usually is the story that we tell. If we ask our spouse to do something and they don't do it, it's usually like, he just doesn't care about me. If he loved me enough, he would have done this. He's so selfish, whatever, all the things. Runaway mm-hmm. train with our brain, yeah. Right? And the fact of the matter is, it could be he legitimately forgot. Now, it could be like it's really not that important to him. He really not that you're not important to him, but maybe really doesn't want to do the laundry or care about the laundry, right? Which is his to own. But mm-hmm. So a healthy confrontation, once you are regulated, right, and you can cut, you want to decide, like, what emotion, what energy do you want driving this quote unquote confrontation or this discussion that you're going to have?
Discussion,
right?
Yeah.
How do you want to approach it? And it's always best, I believe, to approach things with the energy of curiosity, mm-hmm. right? And so kind of getting into that place, thinking, what do I need to be thinking in order to feel and behave curiously, to come at it with curiosity. And so it would look like, hey, honey, I noticed today, I know yesterday we talked about the laundry and you said you were going to do the laundry and I noticed it didn't get done today. Help me understand like what happened here, right? Which is very different than like, yeah, I'm just so curious. What happened? I thought you were going to do it. Right? That's not curiosity. That's contempt. That's the energy of contempt, right? Disguised as curiosity.
Right.
You try to make sure that the energy really is curiosity and compassion, right? Because if they come home and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had this and this and this. I meant to do it. Please forgive me. Well, I'm going to go do it right now, right? You want to open space for that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you come at it with contempt, it shuts that down. If you come at it with, why didn't you do it? You don't love me. Then they're just going to argue back. Of course I love you. That's ridiculous. And then you're arguing. I always call it like you're arguing over the top of the problem. You're not even addressing the problem, right?
Right.
You're arguing at like 30,000 feet above it and nothing gets resolved. So anyway, to go back to your question, the way that you approach it is from the energy of compassionate curiosity and just be genuine about it and go towards them. Because usually, if it's approached with that energy, not always, but it does open space so that your spouse might be more willing to say, you know what, I blew it. I'm sorry. I know I told you that. And I just didn't do it. I don't know. I don't even have a good reason why. I just didn't do it. And I'm so sorry.
And then, because I think sometimes we in our mind, you know, of course, we're going to come from this calm place and they're going to respond, just like you said. And if they don't, then what?
Yeah.
Like, what if they're defensive? They take it as like, I'm not good enough. I don't ever do anything right. Then how do we respond?
So that's a good question, because then it's just a second opportunity for you to manage your own emotions, right? And notice that they're like, yeah, I'm just never going to be good enough for you. You always complain. I can't, you know, I can't do anything right, obviously. Then you kind of gather yourself again and say, you know, I actually, that's not at all what this is about. I just want to ask you about this specific thing with the laundry, right? So, because when people get defensive, they don't know that, well, maybe they know they're doing it. Sometimes they do, but it's not always intentional. It's almost like a deflection, right? It's like pulling it away again so that you end up arguing about the topic. Or are arguing over the top of it rather than facing what it is.
Yes.
So I would just keep coming back to the actual issue that you're focused on, because that's what it's about. It's not really about the relationship, right? It's about,
And then what I always say too, because you might not be in this place where that might, their response might set you off. And it's just what you said, Amy. It's like noticing, oh, okay, wait. I didn't mean to react to what you said. Maybe I just need to step away for a little bit and just owning that. Because I, in my experience, what I've noticed is that if we can be the, like maybe the balancer and show up a little differently than we always do, often they'll go and they'll reflect on what happened.
Yes.
You give them the opportunity to reconsider. I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas if you're just going in at them after that, because you're no longer regulated, they're not going to reconsider.
Right.
You're just in the same spot. Yeah. So,
because then you're just caught in that bickering above it,
like
over the top of it. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
This question is sort of a personal question, but it does come up with clients as well. And the question is it helpful to know why we behave the way we do? So as we're doing this untangling, and for me, I found it super helpful. I think originally it was like, what's wrong with me kind of thing. But then also it was, I think I have sort of a analytical scientific mind. And so if I like kind of could figure out the reason why I was doing what I was doing, that would help me change it.
Yeah. I think it's really, really important to know, not from a place of, oh, this is why I'm this way. And that's just how I'm always going to be. And so too bad, right?
Right.
Not that kind of energy, but from the energy of, yeah, I wonder why I'm like this. I want to get really curious with myself and figure it out, because then if I can see why I'm like that, then I know what to heal. Then I know how to handle this. Then I know what to watch for in myself, right? It just gives you so much more information in order to change. Yeah. So I think it is really helpful, because it just gives you such good information, because then you can say, oh yeah, okay, now I see why I'm this way. And so it's going to help you know, like, what to go back and heal, or what to address, or what to watch for, little warning signs, right? And then when you can see those things, like see where it's coming from and look at it with compassion, it's a great foundation for moving forward and progressing and growing.
That's helpful. I know for me, there was some things that I could look at my thoughts and like, okay, that's not useful. I can work on changing that. But there was a lot of them where it's just like changing my thoughts doesn't work. And so when I started to work on wounded child work or some like different parts of me, all the different things, I started understanding like what I was protecting myself from. And I think that for me, that was super helpful.
Yeah.
And then as we wrap up, I would love to, you talk about the power grab. Mm. Could you explain what that is to the listeners?
Yes. So when people are on this entangled place and they feel so powerless, right? Because they feel like their spouse controls their emotions and everything that's going on, and they just feel so disempowered. And then they learn about this. They learn, oh my goodness, I'm responsible for my own thoughts, feelings, and actions. My spouse actually can't make me feel anything. I get to control it, and I can't make my spouse feel anything. That comes from their thoughts. They do this power grab, which is they go all the way over to this toxic independence, where it's like, oh, thank goodness, I now finally get to be in control of me. And they just create a lot of distance between their spouse. And it's kind of like, oh, you're angry? Sorry, not my problem. Like, it's whatever you're thinking, right? But it feels, in a sense, this toxic independence feels so much better than being entangled, because when they're entangled, they feel powerless. But when they're in toxic independence, they have the sense of power, at least over themselves, because it's like, finally, nobody else can make me upset. I get to manage my own emotions. So that's why I call it the power grab, because they go all the way to that other side.
And I can say I'm totally guilty of that. When I learned like the thought model that I've talked about on the podcast, what wasn't helpful is I wasn't confronting myself and the way I was showing up. I was like, well, sorry, you're thinking that way. It's your fault, not mine. Your thoughts, not mine. And I wasn't looking at how I was showing up. Like, I wasn't showing up in a really great way.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
so
right.
I was influencing his thoughts.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the important thing to realize is that we are the circumstance in other people's models, right? So yes, we take responsibility for our thoughts, feelings, actions, but we want to look at, okay, what kind of a circumstance am I providing for my spouse? Because our circumstances do influence, right, the thoughts that they choose to have that create their feelings. And so that's a really important part of this work.
I know that you need to get on to your next session, which is with me and my husband. So thank you, Amy, so much. I think that in the future, somewhere in the near future, we want to get together again and talk about the steps of untangling.
Yeah, I would love it. That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always love talking with you, Christine.
Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program, where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life. We study it. And we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.